Barbara, what a controversial scripture.
It really is. And Darren, there have been so many times when people have used this little phrase, Paul's thorn in the flesh, as an excuse and sometimes even a cop-out to have faith for their own healing. I'm not saying that, you know, those of you that have prayed for healing in your lives and in your body that have spoken of Paul's thorn in the flesh, I'm not saying that it's a cop-out for you. But for the most part, yes, to use Paul's thorn in the flesh as a reason for not believing that you can be totally healed and walk in divine health, it's kind of a cop-out. Yeah, you almost have to say it.
With what you said, I think we better pray. Okay. Father God, we just thank you for the word, and we thank you for the original language that we can dig into, and we can find out what was really meant. And Lord God, today as we talk about Paul and his situation and our situation today, Lord God, don't let us just hide behind a shroud or hide behind a fog or a blind spot, but Lord, let us find out what Paul really meant in his writings. Now Lord, today I know we're challenging some things that people have held near and dear for a long time, but Lord, if there's a way to get through that and a way to realize that we really can be healed, we'd like to know what that is. So I thank you today. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth as we talk about this idea of Paul's thorn in the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I really truly pray that today as we fully reveal the background of Paul writing this phrase, thorn in the flesh, and as we truly reveal what he meant and what this situation was all about, that you would receive it with joy, not with confusion or frustration, but with joy, knowing that God will bring to you a healing as you pray in faith for your own situation, that you will learn something from this teaching today. Darren, we're going to go into just looking into what were the circumstances surrounding this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And he hadn't been to the church in 3 years. And during that time, there had been some people that had come into Corinth and had tried to undermine Paul's teaching. And so we see here that some people really denied that Paul was a true apostle, and he cared for them, but he was not going to allow his apostolic credentials to be questioned by these people, and he stood ready to confront his accusers. And as we're going to read here in 2 Corinthians 11, the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, if you want to open your Bible, he does confront his accusers. And it is because of that he is, I think more than any other book, Darren, this 2 Corinthians 11:12 are very defensive on Paul's part, because he is trying to prove not only a personal thing here, but also a very strong biblical thing, that people need to stand in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ instead of believe people's teachings, which may be false sometimes.
Or people's ideas. Or notions.
Or opinions, yes.
You know, when I see him defending his apostolic stand or his ministry, what I really see him doing is defending the Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, look, our God can do this. And here, these tormentors and these other that were coming along with the traditions of men and so on, and you know who's really taught us this wrong teaching? I'll just come right out and shoot at it, this wrong teaching of Paul's thorn in the flesh. And, well, if Paul couldn't get healed, well, don't worry about it. You know, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. And then that feeds right into this, well, you know, thy will be done. And what we're doing is we're skating on the issue instead of taking the Word of God to the wall. And Jesus healed everybody who came to him, with the exception of when he was in a town of unbelief and he just left the town.
That's right. And when we do say, thy will be done, we know that God's will for us is perfect, is prosperous, is the very ultimate blessing. Because when he sent his son Jesus in John 10:10, Darren, it says that he has come to give us not only life, but abundant life.
Right.
And I'll tell you, that's right from the mouth of Father God. And I believe that he wants the very best for each one of us. So, you know, if it be your will, no, that's not in the Bible. But according to your will, Lord, according to God's will is for you to be blessed. That's God's will for you, to be blessed.
Now, one of the things that we have a great offense with here in this teaching is that when people say, well, you know, Paul didn't get healed, he had eye problems, he had this problem, that problem, he had a thorn in his flesh, that introduces a attitude, a spirit of unbelief.
Mm-hmm,
and fear, doubt, and unbelief kill faith.
That's right. right.
And then you don't have a chance to get healed if going in, if that's your presupposition, if that's your mindset, then you're going in saying, well, maybe God does, maybe he doesn't. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Well, where am I if I need to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a great teaching for you here, so hang in there with us. We've got some great things to really unveil here.
That's right. Well, we're going to start right away in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and in the 12th verse. And here Paul, as I said before, he's come back to Corinth, and he has to be a little defensive here because these guys have come in and tried to usurp his authority as the founder of this church. But what I do, I will continue to do in order to discredit those who would like to find an occasion, an incentive to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms that we do. And these were men opposing him. And they were coming into the people and just telling them how hard they worked and they labored for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were taking churches away from people. This is the way they were making their living. They had congregations already built up, and they came in and they were taking them away. And this is not right.
They were really proselyting.
That's absolutely right. That's the word I was going to use, proselyting. And did you want to go on with verse 13, or you want it?
Yes, that'd be fine. But he says, for such men are false apostles, counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading, as apostles or special messengers of Christ.
That's right.
In other words, they were great actors,
mm-hmm.
what they were, and they were acting in deceit, and they were hurting the people and hurting the body of Christ.
That's right.
And that's going on today, by the way.
So it was not surprising that the people in the congregations also were masquerading as ministers of righteousness because these guys had taught them to. But their end will correspond with their deeds. For you endure it if a man assumes control of your souls and makes slaves of you, or devours your substance and your money and your finances and preys upon you and deceives and takes advantage of you. And you would rather listen to someone like that than give an ear to the message of freedom and deliverance that I teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul was really going at him. I mean, he was really, truly defending himself and the gospel of Jesus Christ at this point.
Well, when we talk about freedom and deliverance, you can't have that if you're holding on to some error. And this teaching is really an error that says, well, Paul didn't get healed. Paul couldn't get healed because of a thorn in his flesh. We're going to go on to show you some things there, but
mm-hmm.
we're coming right up here in this teaching, like Paul did, against the traditions of men. And
yes.
we have a tape, by the way, on that very subject, and it's entitled, Beware the Traditions of Men. And Barbara, I was raised with more traditions of men than I was with Scripture.
Yes, isn't
and
that sad?
And I'll tell you, when it's weighted in that direction, mm-hmm. you're going to lose. So guess what? We rarely saw anyone healed in our church.
Mm-hmm.
We never saw anybody delivered of evil spirits, and yet they were tormenting. We had people with familiar spirits. I mean, that's what that leads to, is when you get over there and you hold the traditions of men and theology, men's theology, rather than the Word of God.
Yes, and later on in this teaching, Darren, we're going to get into what Paul defines as a true apostle, a genuine apostle of Jesus Christ, and he gives definite
right.
points as a true apostle. But here, you know, what is Paul really talking about? He is talking about human beings coming against him and opposing him, men and women opposing him. And it's not disease, it's not illness, it's men who are coming and opposing him, mentally, spiritually, and physical. Well, he goes on in the 11th chapter of Corinthians with what he has been through physically. And in the 23rd verse of 2 Corinthians 11, he comes in to say, I have come to preach this message with far more extensive labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten with countless stripes, and frequently at the point of death. Now, he's talking here physical death, out from harassment, from beatings and attacks, not from disease or illness. He's talking from attacks coming from the outside, not inside
he's
out.
He's really talking about abuse.
That's right,
really,
he is.
And physical abuse here. And when it says, 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes minus one, in other words, 39 lashes.
Mm-hmm.
3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I have been aboard a ship. Wrecked at sea, and a whole night and a day I've spent adrift in the deep.
Well, just one beating with stones would probably do me in, royal. But here he was, this precious man. He had done beaten him five times with 39 stripes. So five times 40 is how many? 200.
200.
And he, Darren, I cannot imagine what his back looked like, what his face looked like.
Well, he is called the ugliest man in Scripture, yes, by some evangelists.
Yes.
And you know, when they put that cat of nine tails to a victim, they were good at it. I mean, that